Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Movement Watches. Go to movement.com, that's MVMT.com/filthycasuals for 15% off any watch today.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. My name is Tommy Daslow. Thank you for joining us. I'm joined, as always, by the two other hosts of this show. First of all, Adam Knox.
Thank you, Tommy, for having me on your radio program.
Mm-hmm. And second of all, Ben Vanell.
Hey, baby. It's great to be here.
It's our different personalities that make up this show.
Now, we've done it again. We've gone back into the studio and we've recorded another one of our extremely popular premium episodes. Mm-hmm. Over on our Bandcamp. This one we've done the sort of the Uncharted series, but also looking at Naughty Dog as a whole because yep. They're a company that their previous work very much leads up to what they did with the Uncharted series. So that is available now.
On filthycasuals.bandcamp.com.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, once again,
no,
it's that filthy, is incorrect.
Filthycasualspod. Go to filthycasuals.com.au and everything's there.
Yep. So that was a lot of fun. That's like a couple of hours long. And yeah, we talk Crash Bandicoot, we talk Jak and Daxter, we talk Uncharted, and gosh darn it, we even talk a little bit of The Last of Us.
Holy shit, that sounds like a fucking bargain.
Well, he didn't mention the price.
It sounds like that's why. I'm assuming it's free,
It sounds so good that it doesn't matter what it costs.
Yeah, it's a bargain at any of the price. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a dollar or more. You can pay whatever you like.
Yep.
And yeah, we would like it if you pay a lot. But hey, up to you.
At least we got the balls to admit that.
Yeah.
We're coming out here and saying we want all of your money. If
in
we
an ideal
it.
World, $100 every download.
Yeah, in an ideal world, I own that ideal world. And then I slowly ruin it through my incompetence.
A little bit like politics in reality at the moment, isn't it?
Uh-oh. You are the Donald Trump of this podcast.
Thank you very much. I think he's a great man. No.
You do this nearly every week. You make a joke about being pro-Trump and then immediately regret it.
Now, you're about to say it's not every week, but... It is every week.
No, yeah. It isn't. It
Sometimes is. You're not conscious for it.
It's just the hottest button at the moment, and I love pressing buttons, like in video games.
Yeah. Nut. Well,
speaking of pressing buttons, last week you pushed the red-hot horny button, and you told a story in the middle of our ad.
Oh, yeah.
About your dad being at the zoo, eating an ice cream in front of a baboon, the baboon wanting some ice cream and not getting any, and so the baboon, to teach your dad a lesson, brings back two female baboons and fucks them in front of your dad.
Yeah. Don't fucking Tommy-splain my own stories to me.
I bring it up because I don't think I've stopped thinking about it all week.
Yes.
It really is a masterstroke of storytelling on both the way you told it and also the way that your dad has explained it to you. Now, I want to go on record and say, I listened back to the episode. I've been thinking about it all week. I do not believe this ever happened.
Well, I have no proof of it. It happened to my dad and it happened before film was invented in 1978 or something.
At what age? So he claims this happened before you were born?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
I think so.
He didn't come running home from the zoo one day and go, son, you'll never guess what.
I was at the zoo. Why wasn't I there, Dad? Shut up. I was with my other family.
Because, I don't think that happened. Ben, what do you think?
I think it happened, but I reckon he put a lot of mayonnaise on it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I think that's the most likely thing is that Well, because in the story, he's gotten inside the head of a baboon anyway.
Yes,
so,
yes,
but
that's
whatever.
True.
If no one listened to that story, they don't give a shit about this.
What I think definitely
even
happened.
If they did, they might not give a shit.
Is he refused to give the baboon the ice cream, and the baboon definitely raised an eyebrow and went, all right, and walked
fucking
away.
Niles Crane of baboons.
And then
raising
and then,
a single eyebrow. Yeah. Do they even have eyebrows? They're whole fucking head's an eyebrow. It's all hair.
I just want to go on record. I don't support the hate speech that's being spewed about baboons.
If baboons were like sentient and we like interacted with them more on a daily basis, what
sentient.
You just said would be a well, yeah, but I mean. It's
self-aware.
Like, that would be a slur if baboons were like self-aware and kind of interacted with us on a daily basis. Get out of here, eyebrow head.
Yeah, and you know, if a table had wheels, it'd be a car. Who cares?
Wait a minute.
That's just a fake world.
Hang on. So you
how you steer that table?
No, it's if a table has wheels, it's a billy cart. It's not a car.
No, you know how in the middle of planes they're always driving those cars down the aisle.
I've been thinking about this a lot because I don't think it happened, but then you're living in a world where a man invents this story to what? Impress his son. And so in many ways it's kind of easy for me.
Impressive story, son. I fucked fewer baboons one day than a different baboon did.
It's kind of easier for me to just give over to the story and believe that I live in a world where that happens than to have all the questions raised by going, because I've never met your dad. No. Maybe if I did, I'd kind of get it. I'd go, right, I see what's going on.
It's that cheeky English sense of humor.
Yes.
I don't know. Crazy things happen all the time. I was reading something the other day about like a guy with a certain name drowned in a shipwreck.
Harold Holt?
Yeah, that's it. And then years later, a guy with the same name on a different ship with the same name, and it went down in the same place.
Yes.
Something like that. So it just coincidences.
Oh, okay. So like Jeremy Rogers drowned on the Titanic, and then Jeremy Rogers drowned on the Titanic 20 years later.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, 20 years. Yeah, like, it's been long enough, right? We can build another Titanic.
Is this the fourth verse of Ironic by Alanis Morissette?
Yeah, yeah. She gets real specific.
It's drowning on a ship, and then 20 years later, got the same name, drowns on the same ship.
I reckon the baboon story sounds like a bad Simpsons episode.
Yeah, but it's like a Treehouse of Horror where they think they're being really over the top with it. But it's just, so when you say you think it happened, but he put mayonnaise on it.
Yes.
Which part of it do you, like, where's the, do you think it's something like.
I think it was a series of events that were not related.
Yes. So he
ate an ice cream, saw two baboons fuck.
Yeah. Yes.
And then conflated them in his head later on.
He was like, that was despite me.
So you're saying.
I created this.
Yeah. He's incredibly paranoid is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know what? This could be a new poll because we did a poll recently where we tried to work out whether the actor Rip Torn was dead or alive.
That was like a year ago.
We couldn't work that out for ourselves.
Yes.
So this is the next poll. Do you believe Adam's dad's story about being forced against his will to watch a baboon threesome?
Well, that's not completely accurate because he did choose to watch.
That's true. He could have walked away at any time.
Yeah, exactly. He had the power of locomotion.
Yeah. Sure, but he also wasn't sitting there.
Is that what
you
call it when you just walk? Is that locomotion?
No, that's a train.
No, but I think it's still you locomote yourself around.
On a table with wheels,
Yeah. Anyway, we got to set this up because I want to know what people think.
Yeah,
I just had to bring it up because it's been on my mind all week.
This is really weird to me because I've had this story in my head for years.
But that's the case with all of the fun stories that come out of you that we're like, what the fuck is that?
You're normalized to it. Did your dad read this story out at your baptism?
It's all you've ever known.
It would be incredible if I remembered it. A, if I remembered it from my baptism.
It's your first memory.
And B, if my dad's like, I'm going to give a speech and the priest. Like, that doesn't happen at these.
Yes.
Yeah. No, wait.
No, the priest's like, it's pretty rare that the person give a speech about their child. Oh, it's not about the child. It's about me and something that happened 10 years ago today.
I refuse to let my child live in a world where he doesn't know this happened.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was the 10-year anniversary of the story happening to him. He's like, I wish we could have had the baptism on another day. However.
Baboon-tism.
Mm-hmm. Great.
That's all.
So on the Bare Naked Ladies scale, the light's very much still on for me with that story.
Man, if this is the first time anyone's ever listened to this podcast, it makes zero fucking sense.
Yeah, sure.
I listened to this podcast about video games except one of their dads had fucked a baboon and lights off being is good.
So your dad dad fucking the baboon. Now that's a lot of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a lot of mayonnaise on the story. In terms of our scale of whether we're still keeping up with things, I finished Cave Story this week.
Yeah.
Today, in fact. And yeah, wonderful game that I've mentioned it over the last month or so.
Mm.
But very much recommend people check that out. What I did not realize until I completed it and then went back and read a bunch of stuff of it online, it seemed to me while I was playing it like it was very, very linear, and like you kind of, to get through it, you kind of had to just do everything.
Yeah.
As it turns out, there are a lot of hidden areas that you can get different endings and you can get different guns, and there's certain things that you can only find by really poking around. I thought you had to do the maximum amount of poking around to even make it to the end.
Right.
But yeah, there's a great wealth of stuff kind of hidden away, which all made all the more impressive by the fact that it is just one guy that did the whole thing that buried so much extra stuff in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's been out for 13 years or something, but still, if you've never played it, even if all you can get is the freeware game or whatever,
yeah,
very much recommend going in.
Yep.
The end. In terms of news for the week, an announcement that happened today was the Xbox did a big reveal thing at Gamescom.
The Xbox did it.
The Xbox did it.
Yeah. He walked out on stage and went, "Hello, I'm fucking huge. Here's my announcement." There was like, I think it's Gamescom, which again, I'm not sure where that is. I think, is it in Germany?
No idea.
Well, it's somewhere, obviously. And there was like...
It's not nowhere.
So Sony, at time of recording, I believe Sony are doing a press conference as well, and we haven't seen that.
Right.
But
this is one of those ones where there's never any like, there's not massive reveals at this thing.
No, there've been, there was today, but like it's all pretty small stuff. And like the Microsoft one was mainly a bit of spinning the wheels going, the Xbox One X is still out. Can I buy that? I know it sounds fucking stupid. It's a dumb name. Sorry.
It's such a bad name.
Yeah, Scorpio would have been better, but probably even, but whatever.
Well, aren't they selling, there's like pre-release ones that you can buy of the Xbox One X that have like Project Scorpio printed on them?
Maybe.
I think.
That sounds like something that happened. Yeah. But then again, my bar for...
I'm saying that it did.
My bar for believing people's stories is very low. Also, they release like a list of games that will have improvements on that.
It's a long list.
Which is cool. It is long.
And we're going to read it all right now.
Number one, Halo. Number two, Halo 2. Number three, Halo 3.
Number four.
Recore. They're doing a Recore Definitive Edition.
Yep.
Which that game wasn't very well received at the time.
By you?
I never got around to playing it.
So very poorly received.
Maybe I'll play it really soon because this thing's coming out.
Yeah.
Other little things were like they said more stuff about how PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yep.
Again, speaking of ridiculous names.
Mm-hmm.
Is coming to that. I'm actually really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Because I've been playing more of that on the PC, and the weird thing about the PC version is that I think this is correct, but it may be slightly inaccurate. But so there's like grass and fauna, not fauna that you hide in, flora that you hide in.
Correct. Yes. Those things exist in the real world.
And you don't hide in any animals. And if you have lower settings, less of that shows up. So it's a little easier to see people in that stuff.
Okay.
Fuck.
And
okay.
If you have higher settings, it looks nicer, but it kind
renders
of fucks
more
you a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
So having it on the Xbox where everyone has the exact same baseline.
That's interesting.
I think will be cool. I also kind of want to see what that's like with a controller because it does have some element of that really fucking Counter-Strike-y, snappy, quick, you better be on your game movement, which I'm not necessarily great at.
Well, and it's still in beta?
It's early access.
PC? Right. So... also, it kind of being out in the wild and more people having it and kind of knowing about it and talking about it will be interesting.
And so at this Microsoft thing, it was kind of portrayed as though it's just come to the Xbox, but I don't believe that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this early access version will be, but then when it's released, it'll be on everything. It'll be on
PS4
as well.
Also, the news this week, Crackdown 3 has been delayed again.
Oh, yeah.
Which was going to be, I think they were kind of banking on that being a big kind of launch
that was like,
thing for it, but that's now not happening.
Yeah, in terms of exclusives for Microsoft, it was like that and Forza Motorsport 7 this year. And Forza's still coming out in like a couple of weeks. But yeah, it's pretty blank for the rest of it other than like Cuphead, which is on PC as well.
Yeah.
But like all their Xbox stuff is on PC as well.
It's on PC,
now that I mention it. So.
Yeah. Not looking like a great year for the old big dogs over at Microsoft.
Not in terms of exclusive stuff, but there is still the Xbox is fine.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I prefer the gold, the Xbox Live Gold stuff to the PS Plus stuff.
Yep.
Because you get free games. They've got that new like game collection. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like Netflix-y.
Oh, yeah.
Say what you will about other stuff that they've got going on, but that will become an industry standard within the next few years. Yeah. So full credit to them for getting ahead of that and just going, look, we know this is going to happen, even if financially it doesn't make the most amount of sense right now.
Yeah.
Let's just fucking get in front. Like, why would you not? Mm. Like, we all know the way this is headed with every... It's like you have these examples from the other big forms of media to just follow and copy.
Yeah.
Just go in.
But then the other weird thing is that, like, some of that in at least TV stuff is kind of going backwards because did you see the thing of like Disney's taking all their shit off of Netflix?
Yeah. But then Disney's creating their own streaming service.
Right. Yeah. So then you end up with a thing though where there's 50 streaming services and then you'll get a company coming in and going, we'll sell you all of these streaming services at a discount, like a package.
Yeah.
And you can get them through your, like, it'll be Foxtel.
It'll be cable TV packages. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that's not necessarily the direction and that doesn't necessarily affect video games.
But I mean, for right now, if you made the mistake of buying an Xbox One, this is a good thing to have happen.
And like, I have one and I like it and I've played plenty of stuff on it.
Yeah.
And it's, if you want something that does most things and like, then it's a good thing to have.
I guess the difference with the, just thinking about the streaming model with games is that, you know, so something like Netflix where they've got all this old content that they own that they can just cannibalize, that's like old movies and TV shows from the 80s and 90s and whatever.
Yep.
And also their originals, which are what their point of difference is. Mm-hmm. So they're so you're paying for Netflix, but you're also getting new shows in there as well.
Yep.
Whereas with gaming, I mean, you're still always going to be. I can't see a future that's close to us where all of a sudden new games are lumped into that streaming package as well.
There's been aberrations where like Rocket League came out and was free on PS Plus straight away.
But I think what Tommy's saying, are you saying like if you sign up to the Sony streaming service of games, then you get Sony exclusive games only on that streaming service?
No, just more recent releases, I think.
I'm saying like the model with it with Netflix is TV shows now, the whole thing of tuning in week to week is dying out and a lot of the best new shows are on Netflix, which they're creating originally for it.
I don't think
we're going to get to a thing where it's like you subscribe to Nintendo and then every new game that comes out is on there as well.
Yeah,
you're still going to be paying for games on a game-by-game basis.
Yeah.
And the difference there is they're just getting all their old content that's just kind of sitting there that maybe is selling in drips and drabs, but for the most part it's people buying it secondhand or ex-rentals or whatever it is. So they may as well just take this library that's sitting there and monetize it that way.
That's
kind of the difference, is that that's not all Netflix are doing. They're creating new stuff for
totally, and it wouldn't make financial sense for Nintendo to be like, pay $20 a month and get Super Mario Odyssey for free.
Totally, yeah.
I mean, when they're releasing four games a year, maybe it does.
I mean, sure, it makes financial sense for us. Obviously it does.
Yeah.
But
the difference there is that the TV, people were starting to pirate and like Netflix was kind of born out of necessity.
Totally.
Whereas this makes financial sense for them to go, cool, no one's paying fucking $50 for Balloon Fight anymore. Just throw it up there for free.
Well, we're giving them a bit too much credit maybe because we don't know specifically
what Nintendo are doing. Yeah.
But with the Xbox Game Pass thing, that's what it's called. That's all sort of 2+ year old games, but they're plenty of good ones.
Yeah.
And it is a cool thing. Xbox is definitely the cheapest option.
Right.
If you want to get a video game thing, it's the cheapest one and all the games on it are kind of the cheapest too.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's a big bonus with it. If you mispronounce bonus, it'd be boners. I just felt like we hadn't attempted a joke in a bit.
Yeah, fair.
Got a little dry there for a while.
An attempt you did. So also as part of this presentation was the reveal of a new game called Jurassic World.
Evolution.
Jurassic World Evolution.
Yeah.
Which is based on the film Evolution,
now,
starring David
like
Duchovny. Sean William Scott. Who's that black guy that was in
Orlando Jones.
Orlando Jones.
Yeah.
He's funny.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, I liked Evolution.
Yeah.
Now, answer me this. If there's Jurassic World the movie, then and that's still alive, how can you have Jurassic World Evolution? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
That's I see what you're doing there, and I'm all for it.
Oh, you are? Okay.
A callback to something we discuss at length in our premium Uncharted episode that you can find on our Bandcamp.
Yeah, but you'll also know what I was attempting if you follow Tim Allen in any way. Which you should.
Not in any way, just on Twitter.
No, in any way.
Yeah. If you match pace behind him in a shopping center.
You'll overhear this bit at some point.
Just him ordering like a juice. And going, hey, by the way.
This is you sent me this link and you were like, oh, this is cool. There's a Jurassic World video game. Now, first and foremost, I would assume it's some kind of third person, you know, action adventure. You're mirroring the plot of the movies. You're trapped in here and you got to get out. But it's not. It's more of a roller coaster tycoon theme hospital kind of world builder.
Yeah.
Which seems real boring and like a waste of the license to me personally.
Holy shit. It is exactly the opposite thing of that.
For me, it's like that is the perfect Jurassic Park game.
Well, because it like they made a game called it was a poorly titled game called Jurassic Park.
What was the wait? Well, actually, I'm not going to pull you up on any of that.
Jurassic Park. Operation Genesis, which was like on the PS2 and the Xbox.
Yeah, in Australia it was called Operation Mega Drive.
And then it was the same thing where you built this park and you researched your dinosaur DNA and you had to get more, not fossils, what were those little amber things with mosquitoes in them? And it was really cool. I played a bunch, this is like 15 years ago, so I don't remember it too vividly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I remember playing a bunch of that. And really liking it. Then they did a mobile version that was a lot more of the fucking tap and go, like, okay, come back in 24 hours or give us a buck.
Yeah, Simpsons tapped out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I really liked that game 15 years ago. So if this one is similar to that, which the trailer was all just sort of CGI render stuff.
Yeah,
so the trailer is trying to convey, like, it can be like the Jurassic Park movies where, like, oh, no, they've all gotten out.
Yep.
So how does that take place in just a, if it's just like a Sim City-ish kind of thing?
Well, like, just imagine you were in Jurassic Park but standing on a really tall building. And if you look down at it, you'd be like, oh, man, from this isometric perspective, this looks like people are getting fucked up.
Yeah.
So you like build enclosures where you have like a Stegosaurus in there or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have like other attractions that visitors to this Jurassic Park are going to see.
And I'm sure it's like the enclosure will need maintenance. And if you don't allocate enough maintenance, it'll start to degrade and then a dinosaur will get out.
And I think
it's all about, balancing resources.
Presumably
and
you've got to have like your standard kind of theme parky attractions, like a candy bar or whatever.
Yeah, you had that stuff in Operation Genesis.
So a person in there could go and go and get an ice cream, and then they could walk
for God's
over
sake.
To.
Oh yes,
but they. It was all of that stuff. It's like a theme park.
By the way, everything I've said for the last 5 minutes was just in service of getting to that.
I
just
know.
So you know.
And the second that
I
realized
didn't see
that.
It coming.
But yeah, and it would be like cyclones would blow through, and so your security had better be good enough to deal with this.
Yeah.
But the T-Rex is getting out and fucking shit up was definitely a part of it.
Okay,
right.
I'll reserve my judgment. I did find the trailer to be a bit of a tease in the way that it's like, here we all are, Jurassic Park. Oh no, he's gotten out of us. But there's no real danger to you. You're watching from up above, just kind of organising the layout.
That's the way I want to experience it. Yes. I don't want to be hiding in kitchens and. Yeah, I want to be looking down like a god.
They made I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Operation Genesis game was the best Jurassic Park game there's ever been.
Mm.
I can't think of a good one.
Yeah, right.
There was a Mega Drive game that was like a side-scrolling thing, and you played as
Sam Neill.
And then there was the Super Nintendo one, which was top down.
Yeah,
right.
Which that weird era of licensed games where two different versions would come out on two different systems.
There were like 10 different versions of that
all
as well.
All the Disney ones came out on
it. I'm pretty sure there were like 3 games called Jurassic Park for like the Mega Drive and the Sega CD and stuff that were all different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
like there was one where you played as a Velociraptor at some point.
Yeah, that was the Mega Drive one.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And then there
was
one
as a kid when that came out, the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I remember never really liking that game because it was just a bit it controlled a bit shittily or something.
Mm-hmm.
But dinosaurs are cool. And then there was Jurassic Park Operation, no, fucking Trespasser.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
And that is a bad game, but it was like this precursor to what Half-Life was originally meant to be, where like you controlled your two arms and there was all physics on everything.
Right.
But it made everything fucked up because it was like you were drunk all the time or something, because you've got to try and pick up a gun and just knock it off the table.
And this is a Jurassic Park game.
Yeah, because you're like on the island and you're like, oh, fuck, I got to shoot a couple dinosaurs before I get out of here because that'd be sick.
Right.
And I remember that not being very good.
It sounds like that game where you have to like make that person run using like the letter keys on a keyboard.
I think that is. It's exactly that sort of thing, and there aren't really many good dinosaur games.
No, because there was what, one or two good Turoks?
What? Oh, kind of zero. If you go back to them now, they're fucking unbearable.
Yeah, right. I have a theory they would not hold up at all. I remember the first one coming out very early on the 64, and it being it trying to do way too much graphically, so you could only ever see about 30 centimeters ahead of you.
Oh, right.
Every dinosaur had no draw distance because it was all fog.
Every dinosaur game has had the main character be drunk.
Yeah.
Where, like, you can only see so far in front of your face or you keep knocking shit over.
Well, I guess Horizon Zero Dawn has come close.
Kind of.
Like, they're robot dinosaurs. They're robots. Yeah.
But that's why I kind of found that trailer to be a bit of a tease, in the way that, like, that was my first thought watching that beginning of, like, the dinosaur getting loose, was like, oh, yeah, why isn't there a good dinosaur game?
Yeah.
Is Super Mario Odyssey going to be the first good dinosaur game?
Oh, shit. Yeah. Maybe that means it's going to be shit, though.
Maybe. Maybe dinosaurs are cursed. Maybe they're not meant to be.
That's why they died out.
Yeah. We got to get out of here before video games show up.
Yeah.
So no one makes a bad one about us.
No, they found out.
Dinosaur bones were placed here as God as a test of faith, though.
Well, it's
pretty
totally
crazy
agree.
That there hasn't really been a good crack at. Even a game where, what, you play as dinosaurs as the fucking asteroids are falling or whatever.
I feel like we must be missing one. Like, there's not something like some fucking obvious thing that we're just not remembering, is there?
Oh,
like
Dinosaurs, the TV show.
the
video game of that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the daddy. That's what
not
he said.
Not the mama.
We got a British version of it where I was at the time. He said, not the daddy.
They all died at the
not
end.
The mama, that's right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm looking him up. Carnivore's Dinosaur Hunter.
Oh, fucking I played that.
Did you?
It wasn't very good.
Okay.
There were like four dinosaurs that you'd hunt, and it was kind of fun to do it. And like the T-Rex, you would hear in the distance and would hunt you as well.
Oh, man.
So it was quite difficult in that way and kind of spooky, but it was pretty badly made.
Right.
Dino Crisis shooting
game. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, isn't it? I've never played it, but people, that seems like one that people like.
Yeah.
Was that an on-rails shooter, like Time Crisis?
No, it was like Resident Evil.
Oh, okay.
The first one was like Resident Evil, and then the second one was
I played Dino Crisis. That was on the PlayStation, I think.
Yeah. And then the second one was
It was really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Then the third one was set on a space station and the dinosaurs were zombies. I think they got real bored.
Fuck.
There's not a lot coming up here. Yeah. Dino Crisis might be the one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think I'm going to marry it.
Now there's a new one. I think it looks good, but I like city building and theme park management games. So fuck me.
Yeah.
I like city building. So fuck me. What a great pickup line.
the first one, like, this isn't really a sequel. Sort of, because I don't think it's any of the same people making it. I haven't double checked that, but I haven't checked it once.
Okay.
But I haven't half checked it. But
you're no Santa Claus then.
Only in terms of appearance. But the old one was good.
Yeah.
So the new one might be good.
But it's not made by the same people, or maybe it is.
No.
I like that when you said the old one, you pointed behind you, you did the old backwards thumb to sort of visually indicate to us the passage of time.
Yeah, that one is in the rear view mirror.
That you're currently hurtling forwards through.
I've just got a copy of it in my backpack.
You are wearing while sitting down. It's very off-putting.
Yeah, you've crushed the whole thing.
I'm not actually doing that. Don't make people think I'm a psycho.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's not psychopathic to wear a backpack sitting down.
Yeah, you know what? There's plenty of other things that you say on this show that make you seem like a psycho.
Yeah. One of them being, please don't make it sound like I sound like a psycho. I'm not a psycho.
We also just then, we watched a trailer for Monster Hunter World, which is coming out on the PS4.
Yep. Those are games with basically dinosaurs.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
That looks really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what the It looks amazing.
Yes.
Cool world and everything.
The movie Cool World.
The movie Cool World.
Yeah.
I was actually reading an article about that the other day.
It's interesting stuff.
Cool World?
The movie that made Fritz the Cat made.
Yeah.
And it's Brad Pitt's in it.
Yeah.
And it's like the plot. It's basically Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Okay. And it came out roughly around the same time.
But it's more
very poorly.
More adult kind of? Yeah. Yeah.
Raunchy.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's like Jessica Rabbit was pretty raunchy.
Not for kids.
Yeah.
Raunchy, especially that bit where there was a rumor that you could see up her dress.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Where she comes out of the car?
No.
Remember it. I started it.
This game looks cool. For me, it'll be all about, I just don't know if the combat is going to gel with me or not.
Right.
So I've played some of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Monster Hunter 4.
Yeah.
And this is basically Monster Hunter 5.
Right.
There's like a lot of them and it's all like there are different versions of each game. And so there's more than 5 of them. But mm-hmm.
Capcom giving 0 fucks. Well, we'll release a remake of an old one on Switch, but then the next new one is going to be on the PS4.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter Hyper Alpha, it's there.
And was this previously tied to Nintendo or was it?
I always thought it was a Nintendo franchise.
The first one was on the PS2.
Right.
And then it was on the PSP for ages, and then there was one on the Wii, and it's been all over the fucking place.
Right, okay.
I guess the last few years it's been solely Nintendo, which is what's
Exactly.
Right.
So the one that's coming to the Switch is Double Cross, which is the second version of Cross, which was called like Generations over here,
mm-hmm.
and is just like a mishmash of all the stuff from the first 4.
Okay.
Right, right.
So, and that one I think this is like the brand new one. And anyway, the combat in 4 is like sort of stiff, but in the way that it's very precise, kind of in a Dark Souls-y way. I don't want to compare everything to that because I feel like everything
compared to any third-person action melee game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it kind of like it's very deliberate, I'll say, I guess.
What about like Breath of the Wild? Is it all similar to that?
Like in some ways,
yeah.
Where there's like...
Which ways?
I'll explain.
Thank you.
There's a whole bunch of different weapons you can use, like 15 of them or something, and they're all very, very different.
Right.
Sort of to the extent of like different characters in a fighting game would be different. Like they play very differently. And in that way, that's kind of similar, like an axe in Zelda. But, and Zelda would be like a more simplified version of this sort of thing.
Yeah, okay.
And this is quite harsh and difficult depending on what you're doing in it. This one looks really cool. They've... very much been primarily Japanese audience focused.
Right.
The other Monster Hunter games and this one, they're calling it World because they wanted to make it clear, like, we want this to be everyone.
Right.
Right.
And it's releasing over here at the same time as in Japan, which has never happened before.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I think it looks fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I've not played one of the series before, but yeah, like I just like the design of the creatures.
Yeah.
And the quality of the like graphics, it looks
very
fucking great.
Very convincing and
yeah.
Yeah. Like the only thing is in the bit we watch, it's just purely fighting these big monsters.
And kind of like in The Witcher 3, how it's like you'd fight a griffin or whatever and it's like, well, here's the griffin and it's really hard to beat and you just got to fight it and go around in circles until you get it.
Yeah, it's all about like big sort of boss style monsters.
Yeah, my only thing is what's happening in between.
So you kind
of that like
you get
it's a dating sim. No, I don't know.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Given the real hunt, hey? The hunt for a goddamn someone to put up with you, huh?
The hunt for Red October.
My
future wife.
You go and do quests and someone's like, hey, collect this shit and there's smaller monsters and you kill them.
Right.
It's
okay.
All that sort of stuff.
Cool. Yep.
There's a lot of like actual gameplay footage of it on YouTube and whatever.
Yeah.
So if you've not seen it before, have a look.
Sweet.
Because I think it looks good and it's like early 2018, they've said.
Yeah.
Mass Effect Andromeda got a single player patch for it. Do you guys know much about what
the last single player patch ever?
Yeah.
In the history of Mass Effect Andromeda.
That's pretty recent to be kind of bowing out of doing anything new for that, right?
I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be if this game had been finished when it came out, but because it was so fucked up,
they
released a statement when it came out just basically going, fuck, sorry. Hey, man.
Yeah.
Finally, we could move to a different galaxy, huh? Get away from all of this.
And you'd understand that if you ever played the game.
that was a debacle of a release.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big disappointment.
Yeah, I only ended up watching a bunch of it.
Yeah.
Never pulled myself into playing it because the writing that I saw in the examples of it I saw
was fucking terrible.
It was. I played maybe 2 or 3 hours of it, and everything that I like in a Mass Effect game was missing or not done nearly close to the standard of the previous ones.
Yeah.
Like, I remember reviewing it and being like, it's a Mass Effect game. It has all the stuff that would be in a Mass Effect game, just none of it's done as well as any of the other ones.
Right. Yeah, and it by all accounts, was very boring and stuff. So I did kind of want to play it one day just because I have enough of an attachment to Mass Effect that I, you know, I'll get the flu one day and...
You'll die and you'll regret never playing it.
So they've not fixed... plenty of it, but not that you necessarily can. And it's just an interesting thing to have this weird kind of hope for a game these days that it will be fixed after it comes out. Because, like, we've talked about this sort of concept before, but things coming out and just being what they are back in the day was kind of a relief in a way, because if something sucked, you moved on from it straight away.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, with ARMS, a game that I've been a big fan of, where they've been sort of saying, oh, yeah, more stuff's going to come out for it. And they've been teasing in the last couple of weeks that it looks like they're about to put in a new fighter and a new level and some new ARMS, which I kind of go, I don't really want to get one at a time. Like, if we're going to get an update, I kind of want to have... 6 new characters all at once. Yep. Like, and that
twins at the same time.
It's just a frustrating schedule to know that you are going to get more, but not know how substantial. Is it going to end up being double the amount of game it is, or is it just going to be this one extra character and then that's it? And at least even just getting it and it only being like, okay, there's only 10 characters. Well, at least you'd go, okay, well, this just is what it is and I'm in or I'm out.
Like, with stuff like that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds thing, I sometimes wonder about, because that's early access now, which means it's not finished, and I wonder about, with the faults of that game, how much leeway I give it more than I maybe should.
Right.
Because I know that it's a work in progress.
Yeah, totally.
And so, yeah, just having Mass Effect Andromeda be like, okay, it's actually, this is it now, is like a second disappointment almost.
Yeah. Right.
Because so I've been holding off on playing it because the patches have fixed significant things of like the facial animations that made everyone look creepy and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And a fuckload of bugs are in it. And yeah, this, it's
so
not,
this is just a new, this isn't like a DLC or anything.
No,
this
no,
is just
no,
like
no.
Improving
no.
stuff. And they,
and like, they said a few weeks ago that there wasn't going to be single player DLC.
Right. Yeah. And they've sort of gone, okay, we've fixed it.
This is all the support we're going to provide.
This is it. This is done.
Other than we're cutting our losses.
Other than for the multiplayer mode, which has like pay microtransaction stuff in it.
And apparently is pretty good.
Right, cool.
Like much less disappointing than the single player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then, because the weird thing is that sometimes a game will be fucked and then get patched and be made better.
Yeah.
So the fact that that can happen once means that you kind of want it to happen for every game. That,
yeah.
Because, you've been playing No Man's Sky.
Yeah, again. Do you want to talk about that now?
Well, let's go to an ad quickly. And then on the other side of that, we can talk about the recent update for No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
So this week, the show is brought to you by Movement Watches. It's stylized, as they say in Wikipedia articles, as MVMT.
Ah, yes.
Now, these guys are...
favorite band of the mid-2000s.
Yes.
I went off of MGMT. I know this isn't... Sorry.
No, this worked out beautifully last week. Yeah. Let's do it again.
I went off of MGMT because they fucked a monkey in front of me. No,
he's done it again.
That band, I really liked that first album at the time.
I loved that first album.
Yeah,
and then
we all did.
Yeah, and they, it was the sound of the summer.
I will say, I don't know if I loved that first album. I loved the two big songs off that first album, which made me think that I loved the first album.
There were like four good songs in that first album.
Also, then I saw them at Meredith and they were real bad.
I've heard they're terrible live,
They all said, we hated that album, we just did it to get famous.
Yeah.
And then started doing a bunch of shithouse music after that.
But those four songs were so well written, like for pop songs. It was
Electric Feel is a banger.
Yes.
Maybe it's just easy to write pop songs.
Yeah, I always hate when bands kind of go back on stuff that they've done before. Yeah. Like any time that a band has a new album, they're like, oh, you know what, when the last one came out, we weren't really happy with it, but we were out there having it kind of sell. And it's like,
yeah.
Ah, well, I spent money on that, so thanks for...
Yeah, I liked that a lot, so yeah. Now I feel like an idiot.
Kings
yeah.
of Leon have done that, where they've yeah. just thrown their first two albums under the bus and said that they think it's shit and that they wish they'd never made that kind of music. It's very disappointing.
Yeah,
they feel that way, but...
I agree with them on that.
Their first two albums?
Yeah.
Their first two albums early Kings of Leon? Great.
No, but I was made to listen to it by... anyway, it's not important.
No, this sounds very important.
Someone who kidnapped me, okay?
Oh, there you go.
No, yeah, by like right. a girlfriend at the time, and that might be... I never really clicked
That's
with it.
That's almost definitely it. But yeah. yeah. Anyway,
no,
so...
No, I think it's unrelated to the emotional trauma.
Well, you might be looking down at your wrist wondering how long has this deviation rant gone for? And yeah. you know what?
And you better hope you're wearing a watch.
Yeah, Movement Watches, they are supporting the show this week. They sent each of us a watch.
Yep.
I really like mine.
Yep.
They're good. It's a good quality product.
Yeah.
So yeah, their whole thing is they are good, stylish watches where by cutting out the middleman, they are able to bring you an elegant watch at an affordable price. I believe they start at $135.
Yeah, $135 Australian, which is real good for a watch.
Yeah, yeah. That's like $9 American.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so they are offering a deal for any listeners of this show.
That's right.
You can get 15% off with free shipping and free returns if you go to mvmt.com/filthycasuals. Yeah.
You know what I got to say about that? Mm-hmm. They electric feel good.
Oh.
Oh.
Nice.
It's not time to pretend. I really love them.
What are their other songs?
This the kids would only love be funny wearing to... watches.
Okay, yeah.
Yellow Submarine.
What about Congratulations, You Look Good in Your Watch? Congratulations was their second album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not that.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, mvmt.com/filthycasuals. And yeah, no need to put in a code or anything. You can just get a watch now for 15% off. Yep. We all have one and we think they're great. So yeah, get on that. Now, back to the recent update of No Man's Sky.
Yes.
Which, yeah, conversely, talking about Mass Effect Andromeda kind of giving up and cutting their losses. Now,
yeah.
You would not forgive Hello Games for wanting to...
You would forgive. You would forgive.
No, I wouldn't forgive them.
Oh, okay.
I'd never be able to get over it.
Right.
Yeah, for kind of, you know, doing the same thing because this game came out, it didn't really land in the way that you know, there are people that like it, but it didn't... I think you could say that on the whole it didn't deliver on the hype.
It
sold quite well. It was well reviewed.
I think a lot of people refunded it and stuff, though.
Yeah,
possibly.
But then there was that massive consumer backlash that just kind of bubbled and built like a big snowball rolling down a hill.
Mm-hmm. You know how snowballs bubble?
Yeah, they bubble. They bubble and build.
But yeah, to still be adding an update of this size over a year on is, no one would have faulted them for just going, oh, well, you know, it's out there and people... Some people liked it, but hey, let's move on to a new thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going back and changing like episode 12 of this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really
feel
like...
Do you like episode 12?
I fucking hate episode 12.
Oh, no. That's the one where it's just me.
No, man. I just made episode 12 like to fucking get famous. We didn't like that music at all.
Episode
I mean, that
12
podcast
is a great
at all.
God, podcast.
But yeah, you love... Well documented on the show, Ben. You loved the... original No Man's Sky.
Yep.
You've had some time with the update.
I have. I really feel like, and just, yeah, like more generally, I feel like No Man's Sky would have been a Player Unknown's Battlegrounds kind of thing if it had never been picked up by Sony.
Sure.
It probably would have kind of started with a real soft launch and they would have tested it out on a bunch of people who were just into it because it's an early access game.
I said this at the time when we reviewed it. If it had just been an indie that just, you know, over time with those things where you hear, you know, for 6 months, it's like, all right, I've heard enough people tell me about this now. I've got to check it out.
Yeah. For $15,
yeah,
admittedly.
Yeah, I probably would have liked it, but all the hype and the big thing and the big six. Sorry, I meant to say the fact that they had all that product placement in the big six.
Yeah.
No,
Ray,
the big
Ray
short.
Romano was
the big
great.
Short is what I was trying to get at.
Oh, right. Ray Romano's great in the big short too.
Mm-hmm.
That scene where he's in the bathtub explaining economics is so sexy. Yeah. But yes,
I've been walks in on him. Yeah.
Ooh, I've been a big fan from the start. And yeah, they kind of did the thing that they would have done if it was an early access game of like, all right, so, you know, you guys have been playing it for 6 months. Here's some new stuff.
Yeah.
And that new stuff at that time was base building and a better layout to the menus and I think the waypoint system was improved and like a lot of general, you know, little things that were tweaked and were made better. I was like, oh yeah, you know, this makes more sense now.
Yep.
So that happened and people were like, yeah, it's better. It's cool. Yeah. Yep. And now this one's rolled out and it is completely changed the game.
So it's got like objectives and stuff in it now, which thing for someone like me. That was the thing I couldn't get my head around with it. The bit that you liked about it was the bit that I just couldn't get into, was just the kind of the aimlessness of it, which is a pretty big 180 turnaround to kind of make in a game.
It did originally have some stuff like that in it. Like there was a vague goal and then like when you found those red ships or whatever they were, the big orb ones.
Yeah.
It'd be like, hey, go to this system, wink, wink, if you want to find some more of these.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it never really made them clear what they were.
Yeah, I just found that stuff very superfluous and not...
And it kind of was. I think you're alone. Yeah. Like you could ignore that, but then by ignoring that, what you were doing is, literally flying around aimlessly making your own fun.
Yeah.
So what has happened is they've, at the very least, I don't think they've introduced like a bunch of missions and quests and stuff.
Well,
like,
so the thing I've heard, or that they've said, not like I haven't just heard this in a room.
Well, you've heard it, to be fair. If they've said it, you've still heard it.
Yeah.
Well, I've read it. I haven't heard anyone in real life say
it. Trying to let you off the hook, but you just will not.
Are you sure you didn't put it through a text-to-speech program?
Sure.
There he is. Good boy.
Is that like it's got 30 plus hours of story content is what they've said.
Okay, so what I've experienced so far is just the start of the game. But there doesn't seem to be anything new in terms of what you're doing. It's just that they are communicating better what you were supposed to be doing all along.
Okay.
So so it's like when you first played the game, you wake up and you've crashed your ship and you need to fix it.
Grab a brush and put a little makeup.
That's right. And now the same thing happens. The exact same thing happens. You wake up, your ship's over there.
Grab a brush and put a little makeup.
You got some other stuff over there. The red orb's there that you can go to start your little fake vague quest thing. But now there is a menu with a list of actual objectives plotted out that you can select to be active or inactive. And so those are still like gather enough whatever the thing is.
Like fake hydrogen.
Yeah. Gather enough carbon to fix this. Gather enough iron to fix this. And gather enough of the three things to fix this. And so it's the same objectives you had before, but it's in a menu and it's plotted out and you can activate them as you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really different. It's just laid out more easily understandable.
And that's the thing. Like, to me, this is cool that they've done this, but from hearing this, and I did hear it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'll verify that.
This sounds like something that they're fixing that was originally an oversight.
Well, so my opinion about it is that I preferred it when it didn't have this stuff.
Right.
Because if you wanted to, you could figure it out. Mm. It's not like it was incomprehensible. It was like, okay, so that engine needs this, I'll go find it. And so you go and find it and you bring it back and you go, oh, I was able to fix it using that thing. And this one needs that, so I guess I'll go out and find that.
Well, so then I guess the question still is ultimately why?
Because it's fun to do that. Okay. I feel like the sense of exploration and satisfaction on doing the things and going, fuck, I guess I can take off now. I guess I'll go fly into space and going, oh, there's a planet over there. I wonder what's on that. And landing there and finding new stuff. And like, that's all it's ever been.
Yeah.
That's all the goal has ever been, is the process of exploring.
Yeah.
And what they've done now is to make it less vague and mysterious and interesting and more spelled out.
So just add some bullet points on a menu, which then you have to go, why did that take 14 months to get around to doing?
Well, because they've done other stuff, right? Like they changed the flight controls a bit. A
little bit,
So you can like actually control it while you're in the planet's atmosphere.
Yep.
Which was, I always found that really annoying that it took control away.
The little child lock on the steering, basically, So, most of the changes are very slight changes that make it a bit more fun and easy to play. Now, if there is another 30 hours of story content, I haven't seen any of it. And I don't know if I want to, but I guess that is just genuinely something I haven't played yet.
Yeah. So, this doesn't sound like it's going to massively change anyone's opinion on it. Like, if you're in the middle, it might push you over to the enjoy it side.
Yeah. But yeah. If you were like, I'd like to fly around and gather resources and get a big ship and fight people in space, but I can't be bothered figuring out what all these systems are and how they interact.
Yeah, like, I don't know if, like, it wasn't even that. Like, the reason I didn't like the original one wasn't because I couldn't be bothered to do anything. It's just that when you did figure something out, I didn't get any sense of progression or reward.
Right. For me, it was like you're saying, go and find what the next thing is. It's like, well, the next thing is just more of nothing.
Exactly.
Right. It just looks different. Like in, you know, in Breath of the Wild, you go into a new area and it's like, oh, what? Oh, there's a shrine there or there's a thing.
Yeah.
The procedurally generated bit of it was what I realized was just didn't appeal to me because I want to know that there's a reward. I'll unlock something or I'll find a new bit of the story that propels me onto the next bit.
Yeah.
Just going and going, oh, okay, this one's purple. Like, that didn't 100%. That just didn't do it. And that I think that's the difference. That's what's going to get you over the line. That if you enjoy that, then you'll enjoy the game.
And it sounds like that is still the basic gameplay loop, is that you're basically doing the same thing again and again, but instead of looking for ding-dongium on this planet, you're looking for Chris Lilium on another planet.
Well, I wouldn't personally be looking for that. I think that this type of game appeals to people like Ben Russell and myself, because we like to...
People called Ben.
The fact that
we like to be called Ben.
The fact that you can list the two people who like this game.
But it's people who really like collecting a bunch of stuff and using that to get a bigger thing and using that to collect even more stuff to get an even bigger thing.
Yeah.
And that's basically what it is. And also, like, I love
fucking
the music.
Capitalists is what it sounds like to me.
This is kind of like a...
bunch of goddamn neoliberal motherfuckers.
You don't know what that means.
I Googled it earlier. And now I think I have a 50% comprehension of it.
It's kind of a scaled up version of, like, something that you'd see as, like, an app or an iOS game.
Like a clicker, like, right?
Yeah, a clicker. Yeah, you just clicking for ages and it's like, oh, now I've got a thing that doubles the rate of clicks.
It's also like, it's a clicker, but you get to sit in a cool spaceship and have great synth music and all great visuals.
Totally.
And,
I can completely appreciate this as like a relaxation game.
Yes.
Or like putting it on and listening to a podcast or something and playing it.
Totally.
Who the fuck would listen to podcasts though? Bunch of losers. I want you to know that I looked at the microphone when I did that too and it made me go a little cross-eyed. No, I'm kidding. None of you are losers.
It was me all along.
To be fair, like, if there is a story that's added in, I haven't played it yet, so I can't review that yet.
That was the biggest thing missing for me, I think, is that any time I'm driven by to explore a game, it's usually for more, not even story directly, like, you know, here's the plot.
Yeah.
But just like a world, something cool going on.
Right.
That was the most disappointing thing with that game, is that you saw the same three fucking aliens again and again, in duller and duller circumstances, each just going to each other like, hey, you want to buy some shit?
So I think that what has also been improved is the procedural generation stuff, because at the very least, the planets look more like planets.
Mm.
So it's like there's actually mountains and valleys and rivers and stuff. It's not just like a flat bit and then a big bit and then a cavern.
Yeah.
Like it's not, that is very much improved. And the aliens, and they've, even in just laying out like, here's the four races, here's your standing with them, you can see that it in a menu, so that every time you interact with one, you actually see the benefits or the negatives.
And I wanted to see like a weird house and, you know, there's a family eating dinner in there.
You
know, like, and then afterwards go and play the video game.
Okay, yes, because that was the thing that was in real life.
Yes, exactly. I've been stalking human beings in real life. I've been matching pace behind Tim Allen.
For me, oddly enough, the randomness of it and the procedurally generated actually made it feel less special, because it wasn't like this is some beautifully crafted world that someone has really sat here and thought about with a lot of passion.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, this is just what the code is randomly throwing up at me. It didn't make me feel like I was discovering this beautiful new thing. It was just like, oh, this is the one I've gotten. Okay.
Completely. The two like opposite ends of open world design being like No Man's Sky and then something like Breath of the Wild in the last couple of years. Exact opposites in the Breath of the Wild is all crafted and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
I definitely think I prefer that. And also, like,
but just still feels random and still feels like
It feels huge and as though it wasn't as
man-made.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But Yeah, just the art design and stuff of No Man's Sky never really clicked for me. Either,
right, so. And it's my favorite.
Yeah, right.
But, and something that like is worth remembering is like, if they could make that kind of game in this engine and it would be amazing.
Yeah,
if
totally.
They did go, all right, the next 6 months, we've got this team and they're making four planets and a great story in this engine, wouldn't yeah. need changing. The engine's amazing.
Yeah.
Sure, and if a table had wheels, like, it'd be a car.
Well, again, I don't think it would be a car.
But it sounded be a like that's thing, what know? This like, was, like what yeah. this update, the impression that I got from not having spent a lot of time with the game and just sort of what I'd seen online kind of made me think
yeah.
that's what this was going to be.
I like, still think that this is like within that this infinitely procedurally generated universe, there are 20 goals that you can achieve.
Yeah.
Not so much here's a story with yeah. 20 chapters.
And I think by story content they maybe meant stuff more like here's this guy who will give you a little mission
yeah.
briefly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Or you uncover bits that are just like text that are like, yeah. yeah. Hey,
and they actually they
just chucked a fucking 30-hour long to read book in there. Yeah. Like, War and Peace is 30 hours of reading.
Yeah. They have changed the text stuff. It's less like a lot of the really small but annoying things of like you walk into a room for the first time, you see a new alien, the whole thing stops and it goes into like letterbox and you can't move for a bit. They've removed all of that.
Right.
When you interact with someone, it is more like you're in an RPG and you're going through a bunch of text. There's a bunch more options. So there is a bit more interaction, but I just I don't think that it's going to be what people want it to be
yeah.
if you're the people who wanted it to be freelancer or
kind of a weird way of
like
yeah.
that.
Marketing it where they did make it, it seemed like the push was like in the way that they've been talking about it, trying to get in people who
yeah.
didn't.
Well, and they still don't have multiplayer in yet, but they've been talking about that or something.
There's one, it's like there's base sharing. So it's more right. like, yeah, like in The Sims where you can show your friend your house.
Right. Yeah, oh, right. cool. The worst thing ever.
yeah.
So yeah, if you're already into it, probably worth checking out, but yeah, not going to win any new fans.
No,
with the weirdness that happened around that game that we've talked about a bunch already, but yeah. like, I doubt anyone ever is going to change their mind about that
totally.
Game.
Totally, yeah.
yeah.
Nor
yeah.
will anyone who, yeah, already hadn't gone in,
yeah.
go
yeah.
in at this point.
People yep. who did end up disliking that game, a lot of them did go a bit fucking hard on that.
Yeah, totally.
But, yeah.
yeah. Okay, on to other big releases of the week.
Yeah.
Sonic Mania came out just after we'd recorded our last episode, but before yep. the episode came out. So we didn't talk about it last week. But the benefit of that is that we've all been able to play it for about a week.
Yeah.
I actually completed it over the weekend.
Congratulations, Tommy.
Thanks very much. Adam, anything you'd like to say to me?
Why don't you do it with a few more games? All right, goodbye.
Fantastic. I finished two games this week. I finished Cave Story and Sonic Mania.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, as long as they're games that are, you know, about 5 hours long and cost $20, I yep. can get through them. but yeah, so this game,
I think you mean movies. Are you talking about movies?
This game, for anyone that doesn't know the history of it, it was commissioned by Sega as part of their 25th anniversary celebrations of Sonic. They ended up getting in a guy who has done a lot of ports of Sonic games over to iOS games.
Something?
Christian Whitehead.
Christian
who
Whitehead.
Who lives in Melbourne.
Does he?
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Where is he?
I found out from his Twitter. Yeah.
Ooh, let's find
hey,
him.
Hey, Christian, if you're out there,
yeah.
outside Ben's house listening in through the door, come on in here and let's have a chat.
Come on the podcast. Get over here fast, buddy.
Oh.
Hey, like your pal Sonic.
So Sconic, just a giant scone, and instead of knuckles and tails, it's jam and cream.
When they're around me, scones bloody go fast. I'll tell you that, mate.
Mm-hmm. I fucking eat them all up.
Big fat man.
So they got in him, and they got in a couple of guys who've made kind of fan games because there's been yeah. a huge. Fan game community of Sonic over the last couple of decades.
Mm.
More fan games than real fans.
Pretty much, yeah. That's the thing. For a franchise that has been so shit for so long, there is still a passionate fan base out there of Sonic, of
yep.
people yeah. that of people that love Sonic. So yeah, this was kind of envisaged as like a yeah as kind of a celebration of 25 years of Sonic, which then kind of morphed into this game that is kind of half remix of old stages and then half
yeah.
original stages by the developer. I've been looking forward to this since it was announced, and then they mentioned that they were porting it over or bringing it over to the Switch at the same time.
Yep.
I really felt like this could have gone either way. Like I I thought it looked really good. The more we saw of it, the more it seemed like these guys kind of know what they're doing. But I kind of...
It just has the half the title is the word Sonic.
Yeah.
So you've
yeah.
got to be real fucking careful.
Totally. Yeah. It sort of seemed to me like, oh, maybe this could just be like a little bit of nostalgic fun for 15 minutes and then who gives a fuck after that. But it's come out to incredibly... great reviews, I think.
Yeah, I've seen only positive. I don't know if they're all 10 out of 10s, but
I mean, it's like an 86 on Metacritic, which isn't like the most, but is still very good. And I'm yet to see a negative one.
Yeah.
I think that's to do with most of them being up around the mid to high 80s rather than it being some people giving it 100 and then some people giving it 2 out of 10.
Yeah. So I want to hear the most important voice in video games say what they think about it.
I think
it's great.
I really love it. I think it's really, really great. I think it does everything it sets out to do. I think it – I mean, as I was playing it in the first couple of levels, I sort of thought, oh, this is kind of cool if you grew up with Sonic, but I don't know that I could really recommend it to anyone going in brand new. But then the more I played of it and the more kind of new mechanics and stuff started to come in, I thought, oh, I think this actually just – really does hold up to anyone who's a fan of video games in general. Where are you guys at with it?
I really like it too.
Yeah.
I think it like it looks fucking sick.
Yeah.
I really, really like the way it looks.
It's the great thing of it looks how you thought those games looked at the time.
100%, but it ignores the technical restrictions that they would have had.
Yeah.
And just goes for the aesthetic in the same way something like a Shovel Knight did with the 8-bit stuff.
So it's the colours and it's the palette and it's the look and the feel.
And like
there's more animation in the sprites and there's more
the deliberate aliasing that new like minigame in it that looks fucking old and shit like it was on a 32X or something. It's cool and it plays better than any Sonic game.
Yeah, so I think what's really great about it is I can't remember the last thing I played where you could tell the passion and the just the love of the source material that people have making this really shines through, and they get what makes a Sonic game good and they get what makes it frustrating. And for me, like when I played Sonic as a kid, it was always the franchise that for whatever reason, like when I would be drawing in my notebook at school and whatever, the world of Sonic, because it's got kind of this like it goes into those kind of robots and sort of this semi-futuristic kind of tone. It was always the world of Sonic that I would kind of love drawing and kind of fictionalizing my own me fucking Sonic right in the ass. but it really was a game where I would sit and I would draw levels and go, oh, imagine if you could do this, and then imagine if this was a boss. And this just feels like a bunch of guys who 20 years later got to take what was in their notebooks and actually make it. And you can tell that like the joy that they have with being able to have just been given the keys to the kingdom.
There's really creative stuff in the level design, more so than a bunch of Sonic games.
Sonic games never really deviated in the levels apart from the look and feel, but this one there's like a new little mechanic or a new hook in each. A lot of the time it's not even anything major, but there'll just be one different thing where you go, oh, that's cool that I found myself really wanting to get through to the next level to see, you know, what's the new kind of weird thing it's going to throw at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think boss design is all really great.
But there's a couple in there that are fucking rad.
Yeah.
That like, you know, a lot of this stuff, it's quite a short game.
It's very short,
it's worth just sort of seeing it for yourself. If you like any Sonic game ever, you will enjoy this one.
Mm.
If you never have, you probably won't, I'd guess as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, I finished it and like I wish there was more, but that's not a fault of the game. I mean, it's 20-something bucks. Like,
and
it is an indie essentially.
And it's the same as those first few Sonic games where they were quite short as well.
Yeah, totally.
And it's more about there's heaps of multiple paths you can take in and sort of hidden stuff you can get if you want to do it. And it's just quite fun to move through those levels.
Yeah.
And the music's great. All the remixed stuff is really cool.
Yeah. Ben, so you've never played a Sonic game before.
No.
You have no attachment to the series.
Correct.
Have you been finding it?
I hate the visual style. I hate the music. I hate the sound effects. I hate how it plays, the controls. I think the boss fights are real shitty and boring and simple, but I can't stop playing it.
Oh, what?
Like, wow.
I think there is something incredibly satisfying about the gameplay loop and getting to the end of each stage and beating a boss and moving on. Like, there is the best thing, I think the reason that Sonic is popular and the reason that people like it is the moments when you want to fuck him in the little spiky butt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is when you get all your momentum going and you just zip through the levels like a pinball.
Yeah.
And when that's happening, it's fucking awesome. And everything else is like just not to my taste.
Right.
This is exactly the way that I feel about those old Sonic games. And all right. the praise then is kind of in the context of it being a Sonic game.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like if you judge it as a platformer, it kind of isn't one.
Yes.
Well, I feel like
it's like a marble run or something.
When you, and it does deliberately slow you down sometimes and make you kind of do, those are my least favorite bits are like there's a sort of an airship level.
Yeah.
You got to jump at the bottom between some platforms. And it's fucking tedious because the controls aren't built to do that really.
Yes.
This is what I think is the what I like most about it is that these guys get what made Sonic games not great back then because there were bits in like the original Sonics, especially the first one, where it almost felt like it was pranking you, where you would be on these like loop the loops and you'd be going really fast and then all of a sudden you'd just hit a bad guy or you'd hit a spike or you'd hit a dead end. This, for me, what I really liked was the balance where you'd be doing a bit of platforming and a bit of hopping around and a bit of having, it's always really clear what you're meant to be doing at any given point.
Yeah.
And then the points, they're a bit, just big stretches where it just lets you go full on white knuckle and you know that you're not going to, you work out pretty early on that you're not
going to more like red knuckles.
Oh.
Sorry, just really important that I had to derail that.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You guys, man. You guys have been white knuckling your little dicks over this.
The only thing that I'm really confused about,
But yeah, that's the getting further on in it and just knowing when you get up to one of those parts where it's just roller coasters and loop the loops, it just lets you enjoy them without, I remember in the old ones, you'd always sort of go,
there'd be spikes or a spring at the end.
Right.
Or,
you'd have to have kind of one, you'd really kind of be keenly looking out in case you had to jump something quickly because it was going to kill you because you run straight into it.
Yeah, definitely.
These just, it just goes for it and they just get the, like you're saying, the joy of just, letting rip for like even just 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's something about the platform that is just still dated in the way that Sonic was and just clunky in the way that Sonic always was that I maybe have more tolerance than I should for just because it's the way it was. There are a couple of little buggy bits too where I was definitely felt like I fucking shouldn't have died then.
The way you get crushed
getting
by
stuck
platforms
in between things
is brutal.
Yes. Yes.
There's and a section early on that is infuriating.
Yeah. But the thing I'm surprised to hear you say is the big hate for the visuals and the music.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why people like it. Like, I genuinely, it's like it's
retro stuff in general or
no,
this
specific? This specifically is like it's all very garish and loud and just gross colours that don't go together. And it's just...
It's early 90s though. That's
exactly,
like,
yeah.
It looks like how Will Smith dressed on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
And it's, I just don't like it. And the music, it's all like, it's all Sega stuff. When I was that age, I was Nintendo. It was all very nice and clean and muted colors and very pleasant. And this is all just like, that reminds me of that friend from primary school who smelled like shit and cordial all the time. Like,
that is not necessarily Sonic's fault.
I really like the color palette. I really like the kind of the pastel-y colors. This is the thing for me that sticks out about it a bit is I really like how they've remixed the levels of the old games that they've redone the levels, and I get why that's in there. But the new stuff in there is so good that I just wish there was more of that, like the Mirage Saloon Zone and the Studiopolis Zone.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
The ones where they've done their new ones and just been able to go for it, I kind of wish there was. They did such a good job of the new stuff that I wish that there was more of that in there.
Yeah.
And you play this and it's like, you know, that I think one of the people who worked on it said in his head it goes Sonic 1, 2, 3 and then Mania. So like nothing else happened in between.
And like CD should be in there.
This followed on from that.
Yeah.
And to me you get up to those new bits and you go, this is what a Sonic game is meant to be. Not him, like it is meant to be kind of neon and like, you know, kind of cartoonish Blade Runner kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Not him being chased down a pier by a fucking great white shark, which was the big centerpiece of Sonic Adventure. It makes Sega look even more ridiculous for not having been able to get that for the last, you know, 15 years or however long it's taken them. It's like, of course this is what it should be.
Yeah.
Like,
to be fair, at the time, that whale looked fucking cool.
Right.
True, totally.
Yeah. And I guess, I don't know which ones are new stages and which ones are old ones, but I do like the Studiopolis one and I do like a couple of them where it's more... Yeah, it's more like someone's going, oh, here's a nice design style rather than just like throwing lots of neon green and And blue and springs.
Studiopolis is kind of like the casino zone from, and there's a really cool, this is like a spoiler, so if you don't want this, skip forward like 30 seconds, but I just want to mention it. Mm. That fucking boss in that one where you play Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Yeah, it's Puyo Puyo.
Which is Puyo Puyo, but yeah. It was like a Mega Drive game called
Right.
That's fucking so cool.
Again, that was cool,
like
yeah.
That, where they just, it's full of, and there's like Easter eggs that you can unlock that are, some of them are just based around jokes in memes and stuff, and again, like, like there's a debug mode and all cool. kind of stuff. No, well, there's a whole meme of like putting and Knuckles on the end of things. And there's a mode that you can unlock that is and Knuckles mode where Knuckles follows you along whoever you're playing as. Even if you're playing as Knuckles, you get followed along by another Knuckles, which is, you know, pointless but quite funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's interesting because I do think that the original stages – especially their colour palettes, if you lay them next to the newer ones that they've made, they do stick out a lot as being very garish, whereas the newer ones...
Is the kind Press of Garden a new one?
Is what?
Press Garden? The one that's all like light green and...
That's new.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's new. The ones that have a bit of a softer...
Yes.
Kind of a more pastel look are the new ones. And then, the really extreme brighter ones ones.
You know, colours that were designed to be on a CRT and at the time it was meant to be the anti-Mario.
Yeah.
It's like, here's fucking Sonic!
Yeah.
You know, but and again, Mario's as like, whatever, who... I'm Mario, I'm still going to be good in 20 years.
Yeah.
As someone who, like, knows the originals, I do find that they stick out a bit and I kind of wish they'd maybe had taken those older ones and given them a bit of a lick of paint so that they're a bit more consistent with the look of the new ones that they've made. But that's very small criticism.
I haven't really noticed because Sonic to me has always been, that old-fashioned thing of it being this fucking hodgepodge of different looks.
It's pronounced hedgehog.
And, but it always was this, like, you know, the stupid – streaky stripes on the cup, those seat covers that had all the dumb purple triangles on them.
Early 90s
bullshit.
Forgotten that it's easy to take for granted because it's been around for so long. But just the gameplay, the device of you collect these rings where if you get 100, you get a new life, which you end up needing to do a lot in this game. Like you die a lot and you... There are no checkpoints, so you do go right back to the beginning of the world that you've gotten up to.
Yeah,
the act, right?
Like the act, And the fact that you collect these rings, 100 gets you a new life. If you get hit by an enemy, you drop all your rings. So as long as you just have at least one ring, you're fine. And
I wish I had been told this before I played the game. I had no idea about any of these mechanics. It's not explained in the game. I thought there was no rhyme or reason to how many lives you get or how long you can keep getting hit. Right. I had absolutely no idea.
Right.
So I just assumed that more rings was good.
It does cue you. I mean, the rings thing will flash if you're on zero.
And yeah, if you get
but hit, everything was flashing.
If you get like, hit three separate times, you can figure it out too, right? Like, you get hit with rings and they disappear and you don't die. You get hit with no rings and you die. You get hit with one ring and it still disappears and you don't die. Like...
Not necessarily.
Maybe I'm taking this for granted.
I'm constantly trying to pick up rings, and so I'm not really noticing if I have one or five or 17 or zero. Yeah.
I just have an automatic lock in my head of like when I get one, I'm like I'm safe. And this is probably what it sounds like. The whole difference here is it's so difficult to have nostalgia for something you weren't there for, and impossible to separate your nostalgia from your view of something that you do have it for.
Right, and like I did say, and I do mean like I don't like the things I don't like, but I do mean that there is definitely something about it that's really fun.
Keeps pulling you back,
Well,
what I was getting to with the rings thing is that like that whole thing of you only need one in order to keep going, I kind of forgot how genius that is, especially in a context of a game like this because it's such a good mechanic because it just really does inspire this really kind of fast and loose approach to playing through the game, especially with boss fights where it's like you can kind of go in and be as fucking, you know, as daring as you want as long as you're always prepared to go and run and catch that, you know, one last ring that you've got to sort of keep yourself on the edge.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the boss design is kind of reflected in that where – some of them are, they kind of close off the whole thing because they know it's like, well, you're just going to go up and make yourself get hit because you can afford to take that risk.
Right.
It's not like a life bar that you know it's like, well, I get hit five times and then I'm out of this. Yeah. You can kind of – the way that you can in the levels as a whole as well, the way that you can kind of keep yourself just on the brink of death – for the whole thing, especially as the game gets further and further on, I found myself loving that aspect of it. Of like, well, I've got one, so I'm fine. Or and if that, you know you've built up heaps, it's like then when you get hit, you'll there's automatically more of them that get 20, scattered, so it's just easier to pick them all up again.
That does make those bits though a little weirder when it's like here's an underwater bit or here's a platforming bit that completely changes it.
Yeah,
where it's like this half and half thing between fucking taking away everything you're enjoying about the game versus giving you a change of pace enough to make you enjoy the good part more.
Right. Yeah,
so maybe it would suck without those bits, you know? It's hard to say. Like, you need the other 10 songs on that MGMT album for the four that are good to be.
Yeah. I will say, like, fuck, the underwater levels in Sonic are worse than in any other game.
Yeah. I mean, I do kind of appreciate – it would have been pretty easy. And as much as I'm saying they refined a lot of the mechanics of how you run around and the bits that let you go really fast and just enjoy it, I do kind of respect that there are certain things that, like, this is like a love letter to Sonic and it is warts and all because there's stuff that's like – the stuff that pissed you off and, like, yeah, any adult would go, well, you're making a Sonic that's like a kind of a revival of the original ones.
Yeah.
That's meant to just be the celebration. Well, fuck off the water. Get rid of that because who wants that in there? They've gone, no, you know what? For better or worse, that was part of it originally playing through it. The fucking countdown that you get when you're running out of oxygen and looking for those bubbles and then the way that he – the fucking animation when he drowns is just brutal. Yeah. Like,
did you find this game to be – hard?
Kind of.
Yeah, like, as it gets on, I found bits that took me like quite a few goes to get through. Yeah, and especially knowing that you know, if you're up to the boss in this second act of the level, of the zone that you're in, knowing that you then go back all the way to the start of it. Yeah. And you don't, you know, like modern Mario games, by the time you finish it, you have like 150 lives.
Yeah.
Man, the lives really count in this. And looking for those rings to get to 100,
well, like
you feel like you've really done a really a real achievement.
Yeah, right.
They've taken the lives out of Odyssey just because they're like, this is dumb.
It's pointless.
I found it really difficult.
But it's weird, like it's in this weird position where like, most of the time when you die, you go, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have fucking happened.
Yeah.
Which isn't a good thing.
Yeah.
But there's something about that where you're like, that's bullshit. I'm going to do it again.
Yes. Yeah. Totally. Really. And you do, it is like a classic platformer where you die and you go, oh, okay, that's the bit that I was meant to jump.
Yeah.
But half the time when I died, it was like, I shouldn't have gotten stuck there.
Right.
Like,
and again, that's
why isn't there a fucking. Why is this big gap here when this hasn't been anywhere else in this fucking game?
Yeah.
And again, that's the thing I was saying I appreciate about it being a real warts and all, where it's like there's a bit where there's these kind of rotating platforms and if you jump at just the wrong time, you'll get
wedged.
But it doesn't animate you being wedged or anything. You just die and it's like, oh, come on. Like, I wasn't touching it. Like, I'm not smushed. But again, that's the stuff that pissed you off when you were 12 and so for better or worse it's back in here.
Do it again. If you're going to do a friends reunion, they've still got to be afraid of gay people.
Oh, I love that idea. Yeah, that's great.
It's not good. And they're all pariahs now. Everyone else has moved on. Gunther's fine with it. For the rest of them.
But for how difficult it can be in the levels, I found the boss fights really easy. Mm. And I didn't know why or how to do it or what the method was. I just kept going, well, I fucking jump into the boss until it dies.
That's all you do.
Yeah.
And I thought the presentation of all of them was different.
There were definitely some cool ones. There was the bit where you're fighting the Metal Sonic and the last stage is like going round and round in a circle.
Yeah.
That was cool. But I don't know. Yeah.
It's cool.
I think I think it's really good. I think it's if you have any kind of attachment whatsoever to Sonic or kind of retro-y stuff, it's $26. It's a bit of a no-brainer. It looks great on the little screen on the Switch.
A good way of knowing if you'll like it is play Sonic 2 and see how you feel.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if you've had a bit of fun with that, you'll probably have slightly more fun with this.
And I reckon if you've never played Sonic and you want to know what it's like, play this.
Yeah, yeah.
You will
yeah.
definitely find out.
I reckon, well, or play Sonic 2. I bought shares in Sonic 2 recently.
Oh, okay. It was stupid. Why he keeps pushing stupid Sonic to do. 2.
What's going to be interesting now is...
I meant to buy shares in Tesla.
They've said that there's no... They don't have anything left over, so there won't be DLC. I really hope there's another one that's a bit more... That's, you know, they've seen all the success of this and they've let themselves maybe flesh out a little
yeah.
bit more.
Yeah.
Not to such a crazy degree, because I think what's great about this is it resists the temptation to add in a new character. And the thing I realized about this is, like, you know, when you strip back all the bullshit fucking lore and stuff that they try to put into Sonic now,
yeah.
just Sonic by himself, just that little sprite of him, I just find him such an endearing... He's got that little scowl on.
Yeah,
I just find him such an endearing yeah. character. Like, yeah. I just think... And the thing that's interesting now is that this has come out and it's almost like this $20 little indie game that, you know, Sega just kind of thrown in there as like a bit of a, hey, it's a celebration of Sonic. And people love it.
Yeah.
It's going to be great when Sega themselves bring out their attempt at a 3D Sonic.
Oh, yeah.
Sonic Forces?
Sonic Forces. And when it turns out to be a big pile of shit, yeah. is going to be a pretty brutal end to the narrative.
Yeah.
So I really hope they're smart enough to commission another one of these or a little an add-on yeah. or whatever it is.
Because, Sonic Mania. Yeah. Do Sonic Vania next. Mm-hmm. Oh. Sonic's got a little whip.
He's a junkie.
Oh, yeah. I have a drawing of Sonic with a whip here.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, very fun game. I enjoyed my time with it a great deal.
And it's on everything, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Except the PC, which is in like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yep. We got together over the weekend to record the aforementioned premium episode. We also spent a bit of time playing games together afterwards. Something I don't think we've ever done.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Even the live show that we had where we did Mario Kart, I don't think the three of us actually played together in any of those rounds.
No, we did play one. Yeah,
okay. I don't remember.
I stand corrected.
Yeah.
But we played a game which... I had heard of by title but didn't know anything about, and I think you were the same, Ben.
I knew about it, but I hadn't played it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Called Nidhogg 2, the sequel to, obviously, the sequel to Nidhogg.
Yes.
Which, Nox, this was your suggestion.
Yep.
So, yeah, we spent a bit of time playing it at my house because it is – I think you can play single player, can't you? But it –
Yeah, there's an arcade mode, I think.
Yeah, you can do it against AI, but I think the AI is pretty bad.
Right.
So do you want to you're probably the best chance of explaining.
So it's
how to
like
play
a
it.
Fencing game that but like an arcadey one. You are a little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you
or girl?
The monster. I don't
you're
know.
You're pretty androgynous.
Whoa, mate. Yeah, it's not men or monsters.
it's I'd hunt a couple monsters. I don't know why I said that. We were talking about Monster Hunter earlier, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
I'm looking forward to editing that out. But you're standing on opposite sides of a screen. The one on the left has to get as far to the right as possible. The one on the right has to get as far to the left as possible. And it's this long sort of course.
Mm.
And
nine screens or something?
Three on each side and a middle one, so like
right,
seven.
Right,
and they're sort of repeated on either side. It's a mirror image of each other.
Right,
and so you kill the other person and then start running in that direction, and they keep respawning in front of you to try and stop you with their weapon, which is either like one of three different types of sword, or like two swords, a knife, and a bow, or just your leg.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really
and if
simple.
They, and it, so if you're running, if you're the one trying to run, say to the left. And the person who's respawning in front of you, if they kill you,
then they have to keep running
to the right. And now you're the one respawning, and you basically go back and forth until one of you
gets far
reaches
enough to
the
win.
Four screens away from the middle, yeah. which is your end goal.
Totally.
So the style is kind of Super Nintendo-y.
Yeah, the
era.
First one was like this Atari 2600 looking type game. Mm-hmm. And they've moved forward in time to like a Super Nintendo knockoff thing.
Yeah.
A bit like Sonic Mania in the sense that it has the feel of a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
But it's something way beyond what one of them could
have
done.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it looks, I mean, there's a lot of style to it. So I, knowing nothing about it going in, we turned it on and I immediately kind of liked the look of it. I really like dumb kind of multiplayer competitive things where it's like something very simple that seems like a very obvious like, oh yeah, of course that's a game, but that kind of surprises you with it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like, oh, okay, cool, I get this. Something that you can kind of get pretty easily. And so we started playing it and I was like, oh, I think I've found a new thing that I'm in love with that is going to be my new absolute favorite thing. And within 15 minutes I was like, okay, I'm pretty over this.
yeah.
I don't know. I haven't spent any time playing the arcade, but it felt like when we were playing
and there's
it,
online versus two you can do.
Right, yeah. Right.
It just felt that it was a little too balanced. So the way that we had so many rounds where we were just going back and forth forever and it just felt like someone would only win by the other person just kind of getting tired and not being bothered anymore. So every time you respawn with a different weapon. And I know the whole point of it is it's meant to be fencing, but I started wondering if like if there are some power-ups or if there were some items or if there were randomly super powerful weapons that you would respawn with, where there was an element of like almost Mario Kartism where you would spawn and you have a bazooka that takes them out way easier. It just felt there were too many points of just back and forth. Like
and to be there are a bunch of options in it that we didn't really fuck with that much. Mm-hmm. Where like you can turn on low gravity and you can have a time limit and you can have all these different modifiers.
Yeah,
on.
But we just played the vanilla game, which should be really good.
The best version,
ideally,
right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is there's like 8 levels in this that all function pretty much the same.
They got minor differences of like there's a door here and there's not the other one.
I just found for having like, what is it, 8 of them or something that they weren't stretching out as much as you would think they would with that many different levels.
Yeah.
Have one that goes up or something or...
they all look very different.
They look very different but gameplay wise I didn't feel that... I mean, one of them has grass that you can hide in and...
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's like they have a platform in each of them.
And the thing is, like, it moves so quickly that you're not looking at the backgrounds, really.
Mm.
You're just running back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to give it a bit more of a go, and it's definitely something... I mean, I'm being hypercritical of it, which it's easy to do when I didn't know anything about it before. So if it was something that I'd loved the first one and was hyped up, I probably would be visually style and everything, I'd be loving it a lot more.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that, you know, next time I have people around and, you know, a couple of beers, it's good for a sesh, especially if there's a lot of you and you're doing kind of round robin style.
Yeah.
And the big problem with it in that way is I think what we found as well, where the controls of it aren't welcoming.
Yeah.
Like the specific, just the weight of the motion and the exactly how the weapons work.
Yeah.
And like there are 3 different sort of levels you can hold them at. Each of them functions a bit differently. Figuring out the exact timings of jumps and how far you'll go and all of that stuff is pretty particular and pretty necessary to have an understanding of to really start to feel like you're
good control of it. I didn't find that too bad. I just found it if you treat it like a real button masher. To me, the impression that I got.
Yeah, because you were quite good at it from the start.
Yeah, but that's because I was just treating it as like I go towards you and I just start smashing the buttons as hard as I can and I do like it feels like it just doesn't feel like there's enough difference in the weapon. Like you just get swords and that it doesn't really reward you kind of playing around or with any kind of stealth or with kind of holding back or anything.
Totally. Which
changing your stance, I was like, I don't know why you would do that unless the other person deliberately has theirs in a different way.
My experience of it was incredibly frustrating because I kept losing. And then when I started to get better, I just found it really tedious because, like you said before, the better you both are at it, the longer the match is.
You can end up in a stalemate pretty easily.
Yeah.
And there's not too much strategy in terms of, okay, well, I'll hide here and wait and get this thing. And if it was throwing a bit more stuff at you, like, okay, well, then this person randomly gets a power up when they die where they're double the size or whatever it is.
You die 5 times, you get armor that lasts for 1, you know, round
that,
or whatever.
That being said, we were having a good time with it. Like I'm being critical of it because that's what we do on the show, but we were laughing a lot. Like it looks cool. It is fun, but
it has the party game thing of like if you're watching, it's fun. Like it is fun to watch the back and forth and
and it's funny that the visuals and the animation and stuff, like especially just like the hyper-violent kind of kicking the other player's head in,
yes,
and all that stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
It's funny. And when you throw a weapon at someone and it hits, it looks funny.
Yeah.
It is, like, and but going online, I just don't know why you would ever bother. Like, it's, to me, it's being in the same room and it's then passing the controller on to the next person.
Because it's not this real strategic thing where you're like, I've developed a style.
But, you know, I get like that. I feel like there must be that layer underneath it that just takes a while to get to.
I guess.
And hey, all when this stuff not, that I'm saying I wish was in it, maybe you do unlock over time. Like
I
maybe
I think it's pretty much it's all there on the
plate. All right, well, fuck this game. Well, then, so then we moved on to playing something that I had been playing the night before with my girlfriend. I mentioned this last week. I'd kind of forgotten I had it.
Yeah.
A game called Death Squared.
Now, this game, I feel like we all agree, is really fun.
Yeah. So I'd been playing. I'd gotten
it's fucking rad.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot.
Full disclosure, a buddy of ours, John, worked on it.
Yep.
I had gotten it
and
when
that's
it,
the only reason I'm saying what I'm saying.
I had gotten it when it came out, and it does. It's designed to be played with, you know, 2 to 4 people.
You can only play with 2 or 4.
Well, I mean, it's similar to Snipperclips in that it's designed to be played that way. You can play it with one person, but the way you play it with one person is you just control, you are controlling 2 boxes.
So that's right. Because we had 3 at the start and we did the 4-player mode and I was 2 of the boxes.
Yeah.
With 2
it's weird.
Sticks.
You can do 1, 2, or 4. There's no way to just do 3.
Yeah.
But so I'd kind of forgotten it was on there and I was with my girlfriend and she was like, oh, let's play, I think Mario Kart or something. I was like, oh, you know what? I actually want to play this with someone else because I could see that I'd sort of forgotten I had it until I talked about our friend recommending Little Nightmares to me last week.
Yeah.
And so we spent I think we played it for 2 hours or something. We just got sucked into it, just going through level by level. So basically it's top down. You each control a little box that just kind of, you just scooch around the level and that's all you do. The
You're
only
on
control
this,
is just moving.
Different basically, shaped sort of
2D
platforms.
Grid.
Yeah, kind of, but it's the 3D visuals, but Well, no, and they're in 3D as well because there are levels to some of them.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's kind of set out like a chessboard, but some bits are raised and some bits are lowered.
Yeah.
So you're basically just trying to – you're a different coloured cube and you're trying to guide your cube to a goal that is your colour. Now, sometimes when you move, it will cause blocks that are on the side to come – swinging in, which are going to kind of knock your teammate off the level.
There might be a button of your color that shoots spikes up that'll kill any cube that's on him.
Yep. Yeah, and so it really is. You all have to work together and you have to talk together. And so we just got really absorbed in it. It's great because it to get someone in who doesn't really play games. There's all you do is move, and it's all it's like we just have to.
All you do is move and collaborate.
Totally, and it did a really fucking good job of somehow the puzzles were designed in such a way, because basically you're trying to figure out the correct sequence of movements.
Yeah,
that's what it's about. You need to move in a certain order that you need to uncover by the design of the level.
Yeah,
and there was something really weirdly communal about the way we were figuring them
out. Totally,
absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Each of us saw a different piece of it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen often with cooperative games. Portal 2, I remember the co-op mode of that was kind of like that.
That definitely reminded me of – well, this definitely reminded me of that.
It's that sort of level where it's like the puzzles get pretty complex.
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
There's a lot of moving pieces and a lot of trial and error early on. It resets very quickly when you die.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's never too frustrating.
Part of the joy is – there'll be certain things where you go, there are a lot of unfair deaths in it, in the sense that you'll go to push a trigger that's your color because you think maybe it's going to raise you up. What it instead does is turn on spikes across the whole level that immediately wipe out everyone
shoots
else.
Shoots a laser at somebody.
Just unfair. You haven't fucked up. There's no way of you knowing that.
Yeah.
You had to go. But because it's just funny. You don't care because it's just funny.
And it's built into it. You're a half second away from trying again.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and then when you do, you're like, okay, I know what this does. So it just adds another piece. And it kind of is a bit smart, actually, because you try out this piece of the puzzle, figure out exactly what it does, and then have a little bit of time to think about how that fits into the context of the rest of it.
Yeah.
By the nature of it resetting.
We totally. Frequently would do bits where we would be very close to getting it, and then it just the method that we were using just at the last minute didn't work. Or,
and it reveals, there's actually another step to this puzzle. Yeah.
Or someone fucked it or whatever it was.
Totally, yeah.
Then we'd go back to the start, and then we would spend about a minute with each of us just deliberately dying within 1 second of the, just like, so if I go over here, and it's just, because you're just these little blocks that kind of have these like very vague little faces on them that are just made up of lights.
Yeah.
So they're kind of dumb looking and sort of personified, but sort of like a blank slate where you can just slip backwards across the level, and then you just go tumbling off this cliff
into a black void, and then explode.
Void where you blow up halfway through the void.
So satisfying.
It
has a little counter in the corner that counts your total number of deaths too, which is a really nice little
thing. And not even just for that round, the whole time you've played the game. So at the point where we started playing at mine on Saturday, I think I was at 98 or something.
Yeah.
And I think we got to double that or something.
We got to the 300.
But it just really snuck up on me, because it was just something that I'd forgotten I even had on the Switch, and was like, let's see how I go with this. And then we got absorbed in it, and then our plan had just been to play Nidhogg for a bit, and I was like, oh, quickly, before you guys go, I just want to see what this is like with three people.
Yeah.
And we got sucked into it. Really is so fun, and
it really did take someone else arriving at the house to snap us out of it.
It reminded me of the you know, Nintendo 64 days of everyone in the same room and yelling at the screen, and that real communal experience where you're not just there, you know, it's not just like who's the best at Mario Kart and we'll just sit there and race. It's have to talk, and
also,
it's fun to win, and it's funny when you don't win. And
that fucking puzzle we ended on, and I really like this about it.
This was a great moment.
Every new puzzle, there would be something when you realize what's going on with it, you go, oh, fuck off, that's impossible.
Yeah.
And so we were looking at this last puzzle that we got to. I go like, okay, I think I get the idea of it by now. You're meant to do this, and there's like two different options where you can go, and then just move the stick a bit more, and there's fucking two of you. Each block is repeated twice.
So the start of it was, there's like a pillar where we couldn't all see ourselves.
Yeah, just
at once.
Like a little tunnel
everyone's
in. All
we could
see
was the yellow one, which was Ben.
Yeah.
So we go, all right, Ben, come out. Oh, it's like a little clown car. So we're all stacked above you. So you move out, then Adam will move out, then I came out, then my girlfriend came out, and we're like, great, we're all out there.
Yeah.
And then, one of us moved a little bit more, and then a second color one of us. So you're in sync.
Cool.
So and Adam just goes, nah.
I literally went home.
Stands up and turns off the TV and walks out of the room.
But it's really fun, and it's that sort of thing where you look at it the first time and go, that's impossible.
Mm. Yeah.
This must be broken.
Yeah.
And then when you figure it out, you go, oh, that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, we got to have another session of it.
Yeah.
Like, I really want to go through that whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it's, and also the other thing is, the levels that I was playing with my girlfriend, they're all complete. It's not just like an arbitrary, like, oh, there's two of you in, so it's just like doubled. They all felt totally different to the ones that we were doing the night before.
Yeah, they're all because you've only got two squares on them rather than four.
Yeah,
they're
sure.
Completely different.
But they're not.
Designed.
It's not just like, oh, here's double the landmass or whatever.
And we were playing on the Switch, but this is on the PC, PS4, and Xbox One as well.
Yeah.
Yes, but again, great, great for the Switch, because even if you're just in handheld tabletop mode, just using two Joy-Con, all you're doing is using the stick. So if you got, you know, the fundamental flaws of the Joy-Con don't really come into it.
Yep.
It is a great thing to have a bunch of you crowded around. Like,
totally. And it's the perfect thing to, like you say, introduce to someone who doesn't know anything about games, because it's you move one stick
and
it
totally
moves the thing on the screen.
Yep.
Tone and like the aesthetic of it is very basic and very simple, but does what it needs to
but
do. There's the bit that you guys didn't see, which is when you're playing in two player or one player, it's a human character who's like working on a research facility, and he's talking back and forth with this AI that's like the robot that's running the thing. And there's no story, it's very inconsequential, but there's like little bits of just little snappy bits of kind of dialogue that happen in between levels that just give it a bit of personality.
Right.
From what you that are cool. That
yeah,
are fun.
From what you mentioned about it the other day to us, it sounds a bit like the tone of Portal 2, where you've got this little companion that was kind of funny and snappy and a little bit dark and weird and
just gives it a little extra to stop it from just being a drab world that you're moving a box around in, just kind of gives it a little bit more flavor. Really, really recommend it, especially on the Switch. But for good multiplayer sesh.
Can't speak to how long it is. Because we didn't finish it yet. But
we, yeah. In terms of like having a fun evening with your mates, totally. That was like.
And
yeah,
I get the impression that it is something if you went like, okay, we're playing from midday on what you'd finish it in a day.
But right. Yeah.
Most
right.
games you would as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's great. Check that out. I think that's kind of all we have for this week, right?
Yeah. Before we go, we want to plug some friends of ours.
Mm. Oh, no, wait, very quickly.
Oh, yes.
We have two things to plug.
I want to plug Sonic the Hedgehog, mate.
Three things then.
Let's give a quick mention to a couple of people who listen to his show.
Yes.
I assume that they're fans, although it's hard to gauge from this piece of content that they've made. They made a YouTube video that they sent to us that is all based around us on episode one saying the phrase, "What if Mario real life?"
Yes.
It's indecipherable.
It's indecipherable. What's going on in
it's
it?
It's kind of scary.
I would hesitate. I don't really want to give too much information about how to find it online because I don't think any of us in good faith can really recommend watching it.
All of the beautiful myths of the dark web as well were always things that you could never really find.
Yeah.
But hey, we had a great deal of fun watching it before. Yeah. We didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you to those guys for taking the time to make that.
Yeah.
It
looked like it took a lot of time and effort. I'll say that.
That's faint praise. But the amount of time that went into it is visible.
Yeah. But for filth, it's a great little weird Easter egg out there if you do manage to find it.
Good luck. If you manage to track it down, let us know.
And we do say that without remembering if we retweeted it or not. So it may be that simple.
Hey, maybe that's where all that huge number of views that we saw on the video came from.
Yes.
So thank you to that. We also should say, as you'll know from the very start of the show, that the Filthy Casuals is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Sorry, my leg just twitched. ever like enough to make me make a noise.
Okay.
There must be a storm coming. I don't know why that happened.
Well, I hit you with my tiny little hammer before we started recording. So that terrible reflexes that you've got there.
Yeah.
Before we started recording, episode one.
Yeah.
Yes, we are on the Planet Broadcasting Network. A bunch of our friends are on there. The Weekly Planet, Don't You Know Who I Am with Josh Earl. A bunch of shows that
Auntie
we're
Donna.
All, Auntie Donna, yep. Shows that we're all friends with and stuff. And the whole point of it is we get on here and we recommend, you know, if you like us, go to planetbcasting.com and you'll be able to find other shows that are, you know, kind of similar in tone to us that you may also enjoy. One of which is the show Do Go On, which we are going to play a little clip of right at the end of the episode. It's our friends Matt Stewart, Jess Perkins and Dave Warnicki, who are all Melbourne comedians who we've all known for many years, and it's about history.
Yes. I believe the clip we're going to play
is about a bunch of different things, I think. Or is this specific bit about history?
Well, history is about different things that have happened in the past.
No, it's about one thing.
I don't think
white conquest.
I don't think that any of the episodes are speculation about future events.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
I think the clip we're playing is about Cleopatra. They kind of take a subject from history and explore it. Pardon?
Herstory.
Now sorry, my legs twitching.
History.
Question: is their show as good as this? So you'll hear that at the end. Stick around, and if you enjoy that, then you can find them at planetbcasting.com or wherever you get podcasts. The show is called Do Go On. Meanwhile,
sounded like you don't know where you get podcasts.
wherever they.
I've had sex.
Like a podcast tree.
filthycasuals.com.au, links to our premium episodes on Bandcamp, information about our social medias and all of that stuff that we have coming up. We have some exciting things that we're announcing pretty soon, so keep an eye on all of that.
Very soon.
Leave us a review on iTunes, rate us, send us your feedback throughout the week. We always enjoy. Oh, thank you to everyone who emailed us about our thoughts on Hellblade.
Some really good emails in there.
Yeah, some really good
emails. Really interesting to hear other people's points of view on that, like on that game being okay. And Spec Ops as well, like I get that people like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't always get the time to go, we don't want to just be replying to emails live on the show every week, but even if we don't get the time to bring it up, we do read them every week and we really appreciate hearing people's takes on stuff, and a few recommendations have been coming in recently, which have been really good.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening once again. We'll be back next week. But as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
And Knuckles. Like the what you were saying before. You can't look at me with judgment when you were saying it was a fun little meme you enjoyed.
Here's a clip from Do Go On.
just as an example of what we do here.
Okay, well, obviously I'm freestyling here, so this is from the top of my head.
Okay.
Top of your dome, Dave, if you're freestyling.
You are the coolest person I've ever met.
I know, Jess.
So for a bit of background here, Cleopatra was born in 69 or 68 BC.
Yeah.
Straight from the top of my dome.
Yeah.
As a rock the microphone.
It's so cool.
God, you're a cool guy.
You motherfucker. Yeah, was she a gunfighter? Not a gunfighter, obviously. Was she a good fighter?
She was fluent with 9 guns.
Wow. Bang. Bang, bang. Kapow.
That's 4.
Shoopy, shoopy.
Pure. 6. And of course, we saved the best for last.
You are the coolest person ever.
I don't understand what's going on here.
How did she get so cool?
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.